Good morning. Good morning. Okay, again, my name is Dick Swayson, and I am the board chair of the Performing Arts Festival of Mississauga. And I would like to welcome you all here today. I'm joined today by two other members of the board, Judy Thiel, who is board emeritus, and Joyce Arnold, who is our volunteers chair, and they're talking with you a little bit later on. I'd like to also introduce in the back of the room, Tom Getzinger, who is our board registrar and also our board software developer. So what is the Performing Arts Festival of the East Side, commonly known as PAFE, P-A-F-E? We are a music organization, a long-time music organization that was formed about 35, 36 years ago. And we put on a music festival every year. We have a whole bunch of volunteers and people involved in it. But basically, what we do is to give students an opportunity to be adjudicated. In other words, to test their skills against a professional who will rate them, give them pointers, and also give them a chance to perform in front of an audience. So what are the PAFE students? The PAFE students aren't your typical band students that you'll find in high school, middle school, or elementary school. They are dedicated music students because they have to perform from memory. The festival, with the exception of one of our divisions, has to perform from memory. Also, our students have to really know their craft. They have been working with the teacher. That's another requirement. And working with the teacher, and some of them with an accompanist. So anyway, back to the festival. We hire adjudicators from colleges and universities. We've had adjudicators from all over the Pacific Northwest and even beyond. We've had some adjudicators from Canada, British Columbia, and some from Oregon, some from Idaho, and the major colleges around us, UW, WSU, EOU, UBS, a whole raft of different ones. These adjudicators are most of them doctorate level professionals and teachers. And we bring them in for a week long to work our festival. The festival has five different divisions. We have a piano division, we have a violin viola division, we have a cello bass division, a woodwind division, and a voice division. And we're very happy to be here at St. Andrews, where we have been over the last 10 years or so. And St. Andrews has allowed us to take over pretty much their entire facility to put on our festival. Our festival is always the week after Easter, so it varies from year to year, because that's really the only time there's a real downtime here at St. Andrews that they can allow us to come in and utilize pretty much the entire facility. We have six classrooms that we use for adjudicated classes. We have the sanctuary. We have the fellowship hall here, where it's a major meeting point and where people check in at. We have the south fellowship hall, which we have piano classes. We have the music room. And then we have the conference room, the youth room, and one of the Sunday school rooms in our South Hall. We're busy all week long. We set up on Monday for the festival. On Tuesday through half a day on Saturday, we have the adjudicated classes for all the different divisions and the students. And then after that, on Sunday, the 15th of April, we will have our concerto concert. And that's where our kids have really excelled. And these are kids that not only have done a solo performance, but have done a concerto performance. They've signed up for a secondary class, and that's a concerto performance where they qualify to perform in the concerto concert. And the concerto concert is on the Saturday evening, it's the 15th. And that is where they have the opportunity to, again, play for an audience, but also to compete a little bit with some of their fellow students who have excelled and who have been judged first place in their concerto class. And we're able to perform for cash prizes. And after that performance, then we award cash prizes. I'll come to questions in a few minutes, okay? So if you hold your questions, please. So that's the festival. Our board, we have a 13-member board, and with a wide variety of talents. I joined the board, I believe it was 5 years ago. And back when I joined the board, we were signing up people on paper. And all of our sign-ups and all of our forms were paper forms. And people would sign up by writing out on a form that we provided their information. Since then, we have gone to a computer-generated program that people sign up on the computer, they pay their fees, so instead of sending in a check, they pay their fees on the computer. So really, with the help of a few ex-Microsoft, these one in particular, but a couple more that have joined our board, that have got us into the digital age. So now everything pretty much that we do is electronically. So back to our board. We have 5 different divisions and we have a board chair for each of those divisions. And we also have a hospitality chair. We have a volunteer chair. We have a concerts chair. We have several board members, several new board members. We have 2 new board members for our Woodman division and for our voice division that just signed on just this year. And then we have another St. Andrews member, Johanna Strad, our professor. And they have put up a brand new website this year. So we feel really blessed that now we've come into the current age and we're able to provide, you know, a product that's well received. Our divisions are pretty much full now, and we kind of closed off the sign-up process. And we're now in the process of scheduling all of the different classes for our April festival. Students in the division are anywhere from, or students that are playing for the Pop Day Festival are anywhere from preschool up to high school. And so we have quite a variety of students. And the classes that they take are all geared toward their class level, their age level, and their student level. So we have in the different divisions, like in the piano division, we might have 8 or 9 different classes for each one of the grade levels. Awards. We do have awards for students, and as they go through their different classes, their adjudicator not only listens to them playing, but gives them pointers, writes out a sheet, an adjudication sheet, where they give them tips. And this is really important because these students have all been working with just a teacher. And generally, it's the same teacher. The festival gives them an opportunity to work with another teacher or to have another teacher hear what they're playing and give them pointers on their playing. The second thing is the festival gives them an opportunity to listen to other students that are playing their similar instruments and to get pointers on those other students that can enhance their own playing. Some of the students are working with an accompanist, so it's an important part of the process. They're learning. The awards that we have some named awards for for the top students in each of the divisions. And the awards generally are from $500 all the way down to $50. And so we have a named awards, and Judy probably will talk about that a little bit. We have adjudicator awards, where the adjudicator picks. The adjudicators make all the award decisions, okay? But there's some named awards that are the top awards. There's an adjudicator's choice awards, and each one of the adjudicators has a choice to pick their top students. And then we have Star of the Future. And that's a small award monetarily, but it's for like a sixth grader and below, and somebody who the adjudicator feels has really great potential. I want to digress just a minute here just to tell you how important music is. And music teaches on so many different levels. In music, you learn a lot of different skills. You learn math skills, you have count. In music, you have whole notes, you have half notes, you have quarter notes, you have eighth notes, you have sixteenth notes. You have to know all of those and also learn the rhythm, how those notes fit together and how they work together. So music students tend to be really good at math. Also, music students have to transpose what they're seeing on paper, on music, into their instrument and how to play that instrument, how to push the right notes or the right buttons, play whatever. This is really multitasking at the largest level. And also, students learn memory skills because they have to memorize a lot of them. For the festival, they just have to memorize what they're playing. And they're learning skills to play an instrument or to learn an instrument or to learn music. You have to really spend the time. And especially for students, and especially school students, they have to put in the time to learn and to practice what they're doing. Those skills really translate well into education and successful education. And one other note, and this is important, and this is probably important for St. Andrews too. A few years back, the board looked at the students that were entering their festival, and they saw more and more diverse students. And the community around us was changing. And we saw more and more diverse families coming into the area. And the board decided we need to also diversify our board. And they recruited several diverse people from the community to join our board. And so now we have, you know, 5 or 6 people on our board of different ethnic groups and persuasions, a lot of them Asian. And this has been important. This has been important for us as a festival and as being able to operate into the future. And it will continue as our area here becomes more diverse and more ethnically diverse. We will see that. We're already seeing that within our community, within the Bellevue community, within Greater Puget Sound. So anyway, questions?
Pardon my ignorance, but what is the definition of a concerto?
A concerto is an accompanied piece.
Okay. Of how many?
How many?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
A concerto is usually written for an orchestra and a soloist.
Okay.
And our concertos just have a piano.
The pianist is taking the part of the orchestra.
Yes. Okay. So it's a limited number. It's not a big, huge thing.
Yes. And maybe to go back for just a minute. All of our students are required to play a solo piece, okay? The students that wish to go a little bit higher level can also then enter not the same piece, but a different piece in the concerto, which allows them to play an accompanying piece. It's the next level up. Not all students do that. But it allows them to then qualify for going to the concerto concert and win the prize for the concert. So at this time, I'd like to introduce Judy Thiel, and she is our Board Emeritus. That's a new position. We made her Board Emeritus last year, and she probably understands the most history behind the board. Judy.
Thank you. Javi at this point is a pretty slick festival, and during that week there's over 1,500 to 2,000 people that come through St. Andrews from this larger community. But it wasn't always like that. 45 years ago, this is the late 70s, some of you may remember there was this, the East Side wanted their own identity. They just didn't want to be a suburb of Seattle. And a group of people on Mercer Island started the Performing Arts Festival. That went at the UCC Church on Mercer Island for about 6 or 7 years, and then they stopped and they reorganized as a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and they changed the name to the Performing Arts Festival of the East Side. And over the years, okay, that was 36 years ago. Over the years, it's been at Bellevue First Press, Bellevue Christian, East Shore Unitarian, then back to Bellevue Christian, and in 2009, it came to St. Andrews. It's been at St. Andrews longer than it's been anywhere else, and this facility works beautifully. There's adequate parking, it's easy to get to, and people walk in here, and they say this place is so light and bright. There are windows in all of the rooms, there's good acoustics. I always thought of it as St. Andrews as a four-ring circus. This is Command Central, and we had adjudications going on in, as Dick mentioned, Music Room, Sanctuary, North Fellowship Hall, and Youth Room. Now it's a six-ring circus, so it's grown a bit. But this is Command Central, and it's a very busy place during that week. Christine Zamorodian is the one who brought it here. She talked Candy Young, who is our music director at that time, into hosting the Performing Arts Festival. And so I was asked to be the piano scheduler. Little did I know what I was getting into. Everything at that time at Dick mentioned was handwritten. Forms were mailed in. Your performance time was mailed back out. Students would be running up against the deadline. I'd have cars pulling up to my house at 10:30 at night. Can we still get this registration in? Now it's a totally different procedure. And along the way, I was having a discussion with my son about the festival. And he said, well, you know, you could do this registration online. And I realized we had to do that, but there was no way we could afford it. At that time, the festival had been losing money for about 6 years. We dropped a ballet division, we dropped a harp division. They were costing us too much money. And how could we ever pay for someone who needed tech type salaries to design us a website so we could register online? Well, one night at a board meeting, this guy named Michael Kaiser appeared. And Michael, he was sharing a little bit about himself, and he shared that he started out as a music educator, then he worked at Microsoft, and I'm going to be big aha. And then he directed the Boeing Choir for 20, 25 years, and he was retiring again. And I said to Michael, could you design us a website? And he said, yeah, I suppose I could do that. And you know, there's a process for becoming a board member. Well, Michael didn't go through any process. Bingo. He was on the board. And Michael that year put in hours and hours and hours designing us a website. And the first fall, when we started registration, or January, it was very beta. It was full of bugs. People would complain about our website and our registration process, and Michael would patiently listen. He fixed the problem, then he'd address the next critique, and on he'd go. So that by the second year, it was running pretty smoothly. But in the beginning, let me tell you, it was bumpy. And when I first got involved, we had three board members, and they were all artists. Well, this is a big organizational event, and it requires organizational skill. And that's not necessarily the style of most artists. So in the beginning, it was really, really rough. And I realized we absolutely had to have more board members. We had to have more volunteers. And St. Andrews was pretty fertile recruiting ground. The first person I recruited was Sue Aho. She was amazing. She designed our entire volunteer system, which still works today. I love working with Sue, but Sue and her health failed, so that meant she wasn't able to continue. And early on, Joyce Arnold over here had been one of our early volunteers. And somehow the next year, Joyce wasn't asked to volunteer, and she said to me, didn't I do a good enough job? And I'm going, oh my goodness, this gal is really interested in the festival. bingo, she became our volunteer chair, and she's still our volunteer chair. And if you've been at this festival as a volunteer, you know that Joyce is here at 7 in the morning. She's here till 6 at night. She works 5.5 days. How she keeps up the energy level, she does. I have no idea. But she's been a wonderful volunteer chair, and she'll tell you about the volunteers. Then I've been at it for a while as president of the board, and I realized I was getting older. Somebody has to come behind me, and they needed to start getting involved, and I kind of had my eye on Dick Swinsgood. Well, I started sowing these little seeds, and I'd nudge him, you know, and Dick was totally unresponsive. He didn't give me a yes, a no, or a nay. And finally, I made a deal with him. I said, Dick, if you'll be vice president, I'll carry on as president for a few more years, and then you can become the president. And a few things in Dick's life had changed at that point, and he said, okay, and I'm thinking, whew, you know. And at some point, I told Susan Hegedus, sitting right here, that Dick was going to be our next president. And Susan said, Judy, that's brilliant. And it was. Then he recruited Tom Getzinger. And Tom is one of the former Microsofties who could really bring us tech skills, because Michael was fading, and Michael had used old coding skills. He knew that we had to rebuild our website with newer coding skills. So Tom had just retired from Microsoft, and he was Dick Swinsgood's ski partner. He got talked into being our webmaster. That was prior to COVID. And during COVID, Tom literally carried this festival. We ran virtual festivals for the 2 years of COVID. We could have never done it before Tom. And if you've worked with Tom, you know there's question after question. How do you do this? How do you do that? And Tom made it all come together so that for all through COVID, this festival never stopped. We had virtual festivals. Now we're back to a live festival, and we have also recruited Johannes Grad, who helps build this website. This is an incredible outreach for St. Andrews. Dick mentioned the outreach to this entire community, but we also have people who've come to St. Andrews, like Lynn Quinn and Leslie Johnson, who have come through the festival. Leslie has been one of our adjudicators in the past. Now she's a member here at St. Andrews. We frequently hear her playing her viola. And Lynn Quinn came as a volunteer. The mission statement for the festival, ever since its first organization as a 501c3, has been to provide an adjudication, which is an educational and a performance opportunity, a comfortable adjudication and performance article opportunity for students of the arts. And we have always tried to keep our enrollment costs low so that you didn't have to come from a wealthy family to be able to afford to be a part of the festival. So that's a little bit of the history. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Joyce, who's going to talk to you about volunteers.
I've got to make sure.
Where can the public listen? Can they go in to where an adjudicator is with a person or not?
The public is welcome to come to the adjudication events and sit in and listen. And the public is extremely invited to come to any of these concerts. because it's hard to build an audience for these students.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be studying piano, violin, singing, you have to learn to do it for people. So there are five concerts connected with the festival, and they are one is held on the Saturday evening after Easter, and the other four are the following Saturday and Sunday.
It'll be in the bulletin. Yeah.
And there's always good parking, so come. The kids, they're very entertaining. The kids are amazing.
What is the normal time with that week after Easter? Is there a set time, like it starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or?
No, it starts at 8:30 or 9 in the morning, and it runs until 4 or 4:30 in the afternoon.
Okay.
We stagger the different adjudication rooms so that not everybody is signing in at the same time.
Okay. Very lovely. Okay, I'm fast and easy. Good brain. Yes, I'm in charge of the volunteers, and we wouldn't have a festival without the volunteers. And I remember Judy always saying that to me, and she's right. I have 75 slots that I have to fill for the festival, and I have about 20 more to fill, so I'm doing really well. There are three areas people can volunteer for the festival. One is the check-in sign-in table, and that's in the midst of all the craziness that we talked about. And the ladies and men who sit there will have what we're going to make sure we have the kids do is introduce themselves. We're not letting their parents do it for them, because when they go before the adjudicator, they have to introduce themselves again and say what their piece is, and then they play it. One thing I think you alluded to, too, is that it's not all performance. They're also going to be learning. The adjudicator is there to teach them, too. So it's a wonderful experience, and we want the children to know that they're just not trying to get first place, but they're trying to learn more about their piece and how to play it, and they learn from the others, too. So the check-in table, sign-in table is very important, and the kids come up, introduce themselves. The person who has the binder that says piano or whatever will look and find their class and check them off, and then they can come sit and wait. We used to have warm-up rooms. That didn't work too well because some people took advantage of it, and so now they're supposed to warm up at home. They come and sit in chairs. Hopefully they only come about 10 minutes before their class, and they have to be kind of quiet because there's performances going in here. And then they get the other volunteer, the next volunteer, is the runner who doesn't really run. And that person is one who's comfortable walking up and down stairs. And they come and they have their paper that has been filled in. And they will come and call out the children's names. And those children walk with them, and their parents go with them to the classroom. We don't want parents to go to the classroom early, or the children. They're supposed to come and sit here so that whoever's in the classroom can quietly do their pieces, and works out a lot better if we go as a group. So that's what the runner does. They just take a group of people to a classroom and wait outside till the other group, if there's one inside, and then come back. That's the runner. And the third person is actually the most important person, and that's the person who gets to sit and listen to the music, and that's a wonderful thing. And they get to go in with the adjudicator and sit there for either the morning or afternoon, whatever they sign up for. And when the adjudicator gets a break, they get a break too. But they sit with the adjudicator. They have papers. Everybody has papers. Nobody has to memorize their job. And they read off to the students and the parents what the rules are, and the way the class will be performed, how they will perform, and wait for the teacher and such. And then the children get to perform, and the adjudicator keeps a timer, not the adjudicator, the helper, the volunteer, and then afterwards the volunteer hands the music back to the kids and all. So there's a little more procedure with this job, but of course you get to hear the music, so that's special too. And a lot of people love that just because they can actually hear the kids perform. So those are the three different volunteer areas. I have papers here if anybody wants to take one. This is the letter I send to everyone when I know they're interested in volunteering. And this just is paper that you can hand to anybody you want to, or if you're interested. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. A lot of you folks already have signed up. But it tells about the festival. And then the week before the festival, depending on whatever you volunteer for, I send you a little letter that tells you all about it again, so you know exactly what you're supposed to do in your job. And then on that day, you also have a paper like that to help you. So that's basically, really quickly, what the volunteers do. Anything else, Jean? I think we said it. Questions.
Joyce?
Oh, questions. Questions.
So I want to encourage people that they can sign up for half day. It doesn't have to be a whole day.
Well, that's a job.
And also that they always have a very nice lunch.
Oh, yeah.
And you have lunch with the other volunteers, and you get to talk to the adjudicators, too. And I've done it in the past, and it's nice to get to know the adjudicators. You know, a lot of them are from out of town and very interesting people to sit beside and talk to. And you have to, if you're helping the adjudicator, you have to make sure all the paperwork is in order and give them, you know, the right paperwork for the next student coming up, so they don't have to worry about that. So it's a little bit challenging, but it's fun.
But that's why we have the paperwork.
And yes.
It's very important. Yes, sir.
How much information is there for the public, the greater East Side public, to be able to come in and visit? Maybe they don't have a kid playing, or they're not associated with it at all, just getting in the flocks.
Yeah, I'm sure you can probably address that.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have newspapers anymore that really promote something like this, and much of it is done through Facebook.
We don't have a publicity chairman. We've always thought that would be a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
To let more people know about it. We used to have something on, was it King Radio?
Yes. For
about
a while,
concerts.
We paid for announcements on KING. We're not doing that anymore, although we do have students last year who performed on KING Northwest Live with Quentin Morris. Getting information out to the public is difficult. We've tried posters at times, but they're not very effective. It's word of mouth more than anything else.
Yeah. So I guess we don't want to prolong this, but would love to have you involved. And yes, it is hard to let people know. Now, I have a friend of mine who was interested in the festival, and so I just sent all the information about the concerts, and people can. I had a teacher come last year, and she came where there were no more volunteer spaces, but she came to watch, and she was able to walk in and listen in a classroom too. Now the thing is, if you do that, you need to stay the whole time, and so that there's no disruptions. But there is a way to get in once you know about it.
I was just curious, how much does it cost the student to participate in this?
I don't know the minimum.
Oh, I think the fees right now are $40, $45, or $50, depending upon whether you are elementary school, high school, or adult.
Sounds reasonable.
No adults anymore. So it's around the $45 or $50 range. And, you know, our competition has always been Seattle Young Artists, which is the Seattle Music Festival. But truthfully, I think we are very different from what they are. They are very competitive, and their enrollment fees are well over $100.
Good.
And I think one of the reasons Poppy has been so successful is it really fulfills a purpose for the local music teachers. They can tell a student in the fall, now, we're going to work on this piece, and you're going to perform it at this festival in the spring. So it's a very motivational thing for them, because the music teachers in the area have been amazingly supportive.
It's a very, very, very exciting festival, and I'm so glad we finally have a chance to tell more people in church. It's just too bad it's a spring forward night of day, but you're here, good. Because it's so amazing, and I was a teacher, and Judy also, and we know music is central to a lot of learning skills. It's like Dick alluded to, it's just so important to honor this music ability, and the kids are just so exciting, and they're all dressed up, most of them, and the parents are all hovering, most of them, but it's a wonderful, wonderful experience, so I encourage you to get involved. I don't know what else we can
say. I find it to be absolutely amazing the way it has evolved from being a festival where everything was done by paper to now a really slick website. Everything is online.
Which is a little difficult for me, but I manage.
I want to reinforce the music thing. Music, especially if you're singing voice, you have double memory. And as Dick was saying, we need to make sure that all of our school districts keep music in the curriculum.
I agree. Totally, totally, totally. Now, if anybody wants to volunteer or you know somebody who might be interested, please take one of these papers or email me or call me or something. That's in our church book. Because I'd love to have you. Okay, we're done. All right, shall we dance now?
Thank you.